From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take.
My guest and I, we were just talking a little bit ago, just really excited and honored to be a part and connected to his history, Yousef Salaam. He's not just an inspirational speaker, but he's a prison abolitionist who, at the age of 14, was one of the five teenage boys wrongly convicted and sentenced to prison in the Central Park jogger case. As you noted in your piece, you kind of say, you need to understand, this is how we're trapping young, particularly young kids of color in this system in the first instance. You're just sort of grabbing them up off the street and because they fit a general description and it's downhill from there. How do you see the system transforming and changing? Is it through efforts like we see in Illinois, where you recognize we just can't hook kids up like this anymore? We just can't think that we can put them in the box and start telling them all this stuff, a lot of which, if you step back from it, conflicts with itself. Where do you see these reforms going, and how does that play out, particularly given where we see legislatures, despite what we, you know, just saw or heard in Illinois, still are taking steps that make it harder to change the system?
You know, so when I look at the system, in my experience, I would say that we have to work inside. Mm-hmm. We have to become the spooks who sat by the door. And I'm using that terminology in particular because of the great work of Sam Greenlee in that right. book and what it meant. But then, because of what happened with George Floyd and our ancestors' wildest dreams poured out into the streets and erupted, and the language that was being used was abolition, was defund. And I realized that although we have to work from the inside out, a lot of the people on the inside have lost the ability to keep their eyes on the prize. And so we've been lured away. We've agreed to be participants because we have been... we have been guaranteed in many ways through word and maybe not in reality that we will be safe. I'm saying that we have to keep the pressure on. Mm-hmm. The work has to happen on the outside and it has to happen on the inside. And on the outside, people have to continue to march and raise their voice in the same way that Dr. Maya Angelou said when she mm-hmm. taught us how to be alchemists. She said, use that anger. You dance it. You march it. You vote it. You do everything about it. You talk it. Never stop talking it, she said. And then on the inside, we have to do better. We cannot look at the mirror of our experience and say that we are okay. We have to take our experience and figure out how do we create legacy? Because everything is now about legacy, right? Mm-hmm. The legacy that the officers used in terms of their tactics with regards to the Central Park Five, as we were known, left a very, very bad taste in the mouth of not only the system, but also the families that those right. individuals came from. And I'm just saying that the Reed Institute, which I believe is in Chicago, which utilizes these particular, like, I think it's like a certain number of tactics. If you use these tactics, you will guarantee success of being able to take a person and make them confess, right? It's the same thing that we saw when people see, and this is the funny thing about it. People say to themselves, man, I would never confess to a crime I didn't commit. I want to use a film from a great actor named Denzel Washington, right? Mm-hmm. And in this particular film, the title of the film is called Safe House.
Mm-hmm.
He gets caught. I think 15 minutes into the film, he gets caught. He gets strapped to a chair and they're telling him, listen, give us the information. He says, no, I'm not giving y'all nothing. And they look at each other and they say, shucks, well, I guess we got to go and do the things that we aren't supposed to do. And they nod at each other and they grab the tools of war. And in those war, in that war kit is the, I forget the actual name of it, but they're about, it's waterboarding.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word I'm thinking about. They're about to waterboard him. They lean him back, put the cloth over his mouth. And this is the part that I didn't know what he was saying at first. He says, that looked like, and I'm making this, the numbers up, but he said the same thing. That looks like 300 count. You need at least 5,000 count. I'm like, what is he talking about? Right?
Right.
This is before we won the lawsuits. I had no idea that there was different threat counts in cloth.
Right.
But he's saying, that looks like 300 count. You need at least 5,000 count. And he said, well, so-and-so broke after X amount of time. He said, well, yeah, but that don't look like it's going to break me. And sure enough, what happens? He is waterboarded. He's brought back up and then he spits the water out, almost like he's mocking them and says, how long was that? Essentially, what he was saying was that if the tactics are correct, if you utilize the same methodology that you use to break this other individual, I too will break. Mm-hmm. But if you do not use the tactics, and the system knows the tactics, I mean, that's why they know that there's other interrogative processes differing from the Reed technique. Why is it that they use the Reed technique in these cases? It's because it is a guarantee, it's a guarantor of success that they will cause a person to confess to a crime that they have not committed. And I'm saying that because are we seeing a transformation happening? We are. But the system has always played the tango with us. We need to make sure that we keep our eyes on the prize. We need to make sure that we participate in our freedom, justice, and equality, and we need to lean in a little bit more. We cannot then turn a blind eye and say they're going to take care of it. That's the same thing that we've always done with presidencies.
Right.
That's the same thing that we've always done with any government office that we've elected people into. Right. But today is a different day. We've been almost guaranteed that if we remind our public figures, hey, listen, we voted you into office under these guidelines. You said you were going to give us this. We can remind them.
Right.
We can keep, you know, the pressure on, because what's going to happen on the other side is that the system is going to say, now you're in, forget them. This is why in the Black and Brown community, we use and create terminology like politricks.
Right.
Because they say left wing, right wing, same bird.
Same bird, baby.
It's the same system. So
it's the same system.
The free thinking people are saying to themselves, how do we get a better system?
Right.
Right. Right. How why is it that we only have two options? What is
I've been saying that for years, baby. Right?
Yeah. And all I'm saying is that we have the opportunity today, because of what we do, to break all kinds of generational curses.
Right.
We can wrap in our baton of DNA, our DNA that is being passed to the next generations to come, everything great. We can tell them and teach them and show them through our example how to do this.
I want to ask you about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Have you been able to forgive not the system, because that's an inanimate object, but the individuals who came after you, vilified you, stripped down your personhood. How has forgiveness been for you in this process? And is that part of this memoir for you? That is that process of forgiveness?
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, I want to say this first, that we are at war. The war that we are fighting is not about color. Mm-hmm. Although it appears that way in America, but if we do that 30,000 mm-hmm. view of the world, we realize that in other places in the world, oppression looks like people who look like each other oppressing each other.
Right.
What we're fighting is spiritual wickedness in high and low places. That is where we are fighting at, right? That's the crux of the matter. When we think about the people who harmed us, people like Donald Trump, who 2 weeks after we were accused, took out a full page ad that began with the words, bring back the death penalty, bring mm-hmm. back our police. People like Pat Buchanan, who writes in the papers, well, let's just take the eldest one, Corey Wise, and hang him from a tree in Central Park, and saying that we should do this by June 1st. I'm saying that those individuals, regardless of whether it's a part of their makeup or not, we are the ones who are harmed by it even more, by continuing to pull into our now the ball and chain seeking forgiveness that's wrapped around our legs, mm-hmm. that's pulling us back from us being able to truly be great, right? And I'm saying that what I found out, and I had to understand this is not something that just poof happened to me. I found out that forgiveness is not for the person, mm-hmm. but it is for you. It is for you to surgically remove that ball and chain holding you back mm-hmm. because of the wanting. We live in a world of abundance, not a world of lack. And in the abundance of everything, as I look at things from a different angle, I can see that God is creating this diamond, right? I'm not necessarily special in that regard. We are special. And if we choose to attach ourselves to spiritual wickedness, then we never get an opportunity to rise out of the gravitational pull of everything negative. But as soon as we allow ourselves to remove ourselves from the wanting of a sorry that will never come, we give ourselves the opportunity, the greatest opportunity, to be exactly what we are supposed to be. And we find our purpose through that process. And so I've had to learn to forgive those individuals. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody said to me, do you forgive Donald Trump? Right? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to take it into context, right? I can't say yes. You have to take the whole of what thing, I'm saying, right? Into That's context. Right. Because ask yourself this. And I'm not saying you. I'm just talking about people, right? Ask yourself this. Is Donald Trump thinking about Yusuf Salam? Like me particular. No, absolutely not. Did he think about me particular in the context of his presidency?
In fact, I would almost bet that if you could have randomly picked any other five young black kids at that time back in 1989 and put them in front of Donald Trump, and he wouldn't have been able to identify them as not being the Central Park Five.
Absolutely. Right. And so I'm saying that we have the opportunity to become our own heroes. We are the liberators that we seek, right? We have this great question, who's going to help us? We are going to help ourselves. How are we going to help ourselves? Through sacred memory, remembering that we were born on purpose and with a purpose. We can be better and not bitter by everything that comes our way, depending on what happens inside of us as our response. Because if we respond in a powerful way, then all of the negativity that happens to us, the things that hit us in life and make us fall down, right? We could be slammed in the head with a 2x4, but life is trying to teach us, if we look at it from a different angle, mm-hmm. to develop peripheral vision. It's not about if you fall, like my good friend Les Brown says, but when you fall. He said, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. But what happens when you land on your face? Turn over and lay on your back for a moment. Get yourself together.
Well, and when you land on your face like that, which is probably one of the more difficult moments, mm-hmm. You push up, is what you do. That's what you do. And I've been in that room. I've landed on my face, and you've got to push up. And I think it's the strength of Black people is that since 1619, we've always been pushing up and pushing up against a system that wants us splayed out on our face, you know, because again, on your back, you know, you're getting up that way, right? But when they've got you down, face down, it's like that moment you referred to it earlier when they say kiss the ground, right? Mm. It is the ultimate vulnerable position. You can't see. You can't process because your face is in the concrete. It's in the dirt. But in that moment, you find that inner strength to push up. And that's for me, your story, man. You've pushed up. You've pushed back. You have stood up. And you stand among giants who you know, represent not just what a system can do to a person, but ultimately how that person can change the system.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele podcast quick take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah, I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to LostGolfBalls.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. LostGolfBalls.com.